As you know, we have many professionals that have challenges with accomplishing their goals since there is so much to do. And they become overwhelmed and therefore somewhat unproductive.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
So at the Empowerment Zone, we are all about personal empowerment. So we have a solution for you. Today, we're going to have a great conversation with Michelle Thompson, who is a coach and scholar, about her business, Resistant Vision. Michelle Dion Thompson is the founder of Resistant Vision Coaching and Consulting, LLC. Resistant Vision supports women in law and academia to build sustainable work habits for long-term professional success. Michelle works with clients to marry their purpose, and you know I'm all about purpose, with their expertise and communities. This includes helping clients build their particular writing practice, editing support, as well as developing personalized work strategies using transformational coaching that helps clients identify their priorities, strengths, obstacles, and harness what works best for professional development. You can learn more about Michelle at resistantvision.com. And this is Michelle's second appearance on the Empowerment Zone. She was one of that first 100. And so we are so happy to have her back. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you and congratulations. And I'm delighted to be one of the second 100.
Great to hear. So you got to be a part of that second 100 celebration too.
Exactly. Always.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you for being a part of that first 100. Really excited that you got to share this moment with me, especially with the relationship that we have in supporting each other's work and business as a member of a mastermind group that we have. So I'm really excited that you share this moment with me, the first 100 and the second 100.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me celebrate it with you.
Yes. So tell us, you know, as we always start with Empowerment Zone, we always want to hear a little background about who we are getting our advice from who we're listening to. So can you tell us a little bit about your personal and professional background so that our audience can get to know who you are?
Absolutely. I don't quite remember what I said last time, but I work with lawyers and academics because I actually practiced law for 7 years and then I earned a doctorate. And I love the work I do in both of these fields. As I was leaving law, I devised systems that I rely on to this day. And I work with clients on as well, that actually have meant the world of difference to me, because I was negotiating collective bargaining agreements. That can be like a 24/7 enterprise if you let it. But I actually figured out how to, one of the most stressful things for lawyers, for example, is actually dealing with clients on a day-to-day basis. it's ironic. It's a bitter
yes,
irony.
Yes.
Right. We want the clients. We love our clients, and it can be really challenging. And what I found myself doing was setting limits with myself. I set up boundaries, and I would never have articulated it at that time. Anyhow, it was a process of setting up boundaries that is something that I actually use to this day. And when you're doing doctoral work, especially since after your coursework, it's just unlimited. It feels like unlimited time, right? You wake up, you can get your cup of coffee at your local coffee shop. Before you know it, it's noon. Oh dear, I'm hungry. Oh, I haven't written today, right? And it's back to this question of boundaries. And so that's so much of what I've done in my professional life. And that's so much of what I help clients with in the present. And it's not boundaries necessarily out there, right? You can say it's with the clients, it's with the this, it's with the that, but it's often boundaries with ourselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I quite answered your question, but yes. that's some of the background about what I do and why I do it.
Yes. So let's talk about these boundaries. So you figured out through working in academia and working in law that you had to set boundaries. Well, how did the boundaries move toward resistant vision? How did that help you develop that concept?
So the boundaries that I set, what I learned how to do as a lawyer was to say, here are the hours you can talk to me so I can negotiate these collective bargaining agreements, because the collective bargaining agreements are actually what's going to get you what you want. And for me to say, okay, hi, PTA, I know you want me all involved in all the things, but here are the limited hours I'm going to do this. I have to write the dissertation, right? But then when I was working when I started to work as a coach and build my own business, what became very apparent is that, you know, everything else, again, it's like your life, you throw your life up and you see what falls, right? And once again, everything else can grab at your time and you feel fine, like, you keep saying, I don't have time to fill in the blank, right? After I got my doctorate, I was thinking about going on the academic job market, and I actually had to set aside time to create a writing sample and set aside time to publish. And, you know, I picked up Wendy Laura Belcher's Writing Your Journal article in 12 weeks. I was looking up at the book. It's like right there on my bookshelf. And it was very clear that I had to, again, set boundaries with my time. It's like, okay, I have to teach at this time. I have to get up at 5 a.m. I don't give a damn what happens. I don't care who's like, what are you doing? That none of that actually matters. That was a boundary I set with myself. I get up, I write from 5 to 6:30, end of the discussion every single day. That was a boundary that I set with myself. And I was working on converting the dissertation into articles and eventually a monograph. It was that work with my academic research that kind of led me to resistant vision. So true story, my mom died of Alzheimer's last year, but at the time, must have been 6-7 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I was visiting her in Chicago and she was in assisted living. And, you know, my mom would crash in the afternoon. She would just like, that was nap time for her. And she would nap for a couple hours. And I often get like downloads of information. You know, it's like something like very quietly in me says, go get your journal and get a pen. I went, got my journal, got a pen, and I just started writing. And what I was writing was resistant vision. I wrote the following, you know, what this is coming from was the people I study in my scholarly work is about the descendants of Maroons in Jamaica. And what Jamaica tried to do in the late 19th century was to divest them of Maroon status and assimilate them into the rest of the Black population so they could take their labor, right? Because that's what we're about in the Western Hemisphere. How do I take your labor? Mm-hmm. And they said no. And they didn't necessarily say no in big grand ways, but no was the answer. Mm-hmm. That's why you have Maroon communities to this day. And what became very clear to me, especially as journaling, is that Maroons, let me also pair this with the political atmosphere in the United States has been second to none over the last 4 to 8 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I got really irritated with gay marriage. I thought, like, you know, what's interesting about, you know, GLBTQ communities is that we display a lot of flexibility in terms of the kinds of relationships we want and who we want. And we're actually really good at articulating what we want those to look like that don't necessarily follow very, very narrow prescriptions. And then to say that our liberation's all in like the oldest institution on earth, marriage, that initiates in the possession of women. Mm-hmm. That's really bizarre. In my mind, I'd been thinking, wow, we really gave up a liberation movement for a right that's much more limited than the liberation struggle. Mm-hmm. I say all of that because what became really clear to me about the Maroons is that they were really clear about their vision and all of their resistance served their vision. And that vision, which I'm writing about in my monograph, was very much to realize what they perceived as the promise of the original treaty to pretty much be in control of Jamaica from Falmouth, which is an hour west no, an hour east of Montego Bay, all the way down to the South Coast. That's a lot of land, right? But that was the vision. That was the vision that they had in mind. And the way that they deployed resistance in the late 19th century was only to further that vision. They didn't necessarily communicate that with Jamaica. They didn't communicate that to Britain, but every single action they took moved that along. And I was like, that is what we have to do in this country. That's where we need to go. We need to have a bigger vision of what we want in this country. It's not just about abortion. It's just not about gay marriage and all the things, right? It is about like, what is the liberation that we want for people? What does it mean to be fully liberated? That's what Resistance Vision was born in part because the clients I work with take on these unbelievable projects, right? They're talking about like how to work with indigenous communities. They are, you know, all sorts of really amazing things. And they're, forgive me, the dog is no problem. A lot to say. And I, you know, I think it's so, especially at the moment of this climate emergency, I like to have my clients actually realizing what their resistant vision is and to actually fit it into this larger notion of what we're doing in the world. That's what fueled resistant vision. And that's what I was like downloading for pages and pages and pages. And I was like, oh man, it's dinner time. I have to stop. But that's what really came to me. And that's what resistant vision was born from.
That is a great story about your whole process in discovering your professional purpose through Resistant Vision, is that it's a combination of your research, your professional experience, your personal experience, all combined into one to providing a solution for other professionals, particularly women.
Yeah.
So tell us exactly what Resistant Vision is. Do you want to get your, I mean, she's not just he or she, the dog is not distracting me, but do you want to get them? Because it seems like it's distracting you. And
there's a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm going to put us on pause right quick.
Okay, no, I'm back. Okay.
You look like you were a little irritated.
All right. Yes, I'd be happy to tell you about Resistant Vision.
Yes. We're on.
Okay. So Resistant Vision is about creating synergy between global concerns and daily life for academics and lawyers, right? It's that our careers are not just about grasping for the next rung on the professional ladder. Because I think as lawyers, as academics, it's like, I'm going for tenure. I'm going to get partner, right? It's just the next thing. It's just the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's about internal gratification. It's about sovereignty of mind, body, and soul to create a sustainable workplace, family, community, and world using your expertise. That's what this is about. This is about making sure that you are first, because without you, it's not possible.
Exactly. And that's a great vision for Resistant Vision, you know, helping people connect with their purpose and creating boundaries so that they can do the work and not become overwhelmed.
Exactly.
So tell us, what kind of services do you provide, coaching? I mean, who are your ideal clients and who should be reaching out to you if they're interested in becoming a part of your client base, Resistant Vision? You know, who are you reaching?
I work with lawyers and I work with academics and I work with people who know that they want their work to count for so much more. People who know that it's not just about the rigmarole of just the next thing, but you may not be able to figure out how to make that leap, right? And that's who I'm reaching for. And the ways in which I work, like on the academic side, we'll start there. I work with people who they have so many really amazing ideas, but they're all sitting on their computer and they can't figure out how to get it sent out to be published, right? Because your ideas in academia aren't, you know, they don't have the valence that you want them to have unless they're published. Mm-hmm. So you need to get them off of your computer and into the hands of a publisher. And there are many reasons why you may not do it, right? It's not right. It's not perfect. It's not original, right? We have all of these stories. For lawyers, it really is about providing the resources to do the professional work you love to do, to really be with your clients and have the space to do that work and to be able to build the professional relationships with your colleagues and with other people so that you can really thrive in the field. And all of this is about, like, and when you're able to do all of this, you are really able to craft your vision and make sure that your work is actually really feeding that vision. Mm-hmm. So I do, so there, I have a writing program called Your Right Crew for Academics, but I also do lots of regular coaching, like the strategizing, setting deadlines, accountability, but I've also fallen completely in love with emotional freedom technique, which is actually tapping on acupuncture points on your face and torso. And it is remarkable in what it does for people. I have moved people off of addictions to sugar and alcohol. I've removed physical pain that is a manifestation of anxiety out of people's bodies. I've helped them heal from major accidents. I have moved imposter syndrome, all sorts of, like, why does it work that way? It's because we're actually getting to the fight or flight response that many of us have, right? And you know, you end up working on something you have no idea what you have no idea what it has to do with the price of peace in Paris, but all of a sudden you can sit down and write. All of a sudden you can set boundaries with yourself and with others, right? And you can do it in a loving way. You don't, not necessarily like, get out of my face. That's not necessarily what it is, right? But you're actually, you have the ability to flexibly do what you want to do. So that is another modality that I use with people to actually, you know, when I find that people are like, it's like, okay, we're going to do EFT and then we're going to strategize.
So what did you learn that technique?
Emotional freedom technique. It's often known as tapping. Where did I learn it? If you have a coach that doesn't have a coach, you may want to give them the side eye, right? But my business coach, she had someone in her program who was a practitioner of EFT. And so one year I signed up with her because I wanted to move my particular fears about money. And so we worked on that for about 6 months. And she actually called those of us who were clients of hers into learning how to be practitioners of EFT. And so that's what I've been doing for the past year and a half in addition to everything else. But yes.
Great. So now tell us the name of the writing program again.
Your Right Crew, WRITE. Yes.
Okay. And then you, can you tell us a little bit about the program that you have for attorneys?
So for both academics and attorneys, I have both, I call it hybrid coaching because I bring the techniques to EFT to everything because it's that effective. But I also have a straight EFT program where we can take a deep dive, a gentle deep dive into the foundational things that keep you from setting boundaries, working well with clients, imposter syndrome, all of perfectionism, right? And we will use the techniques of emotional freedom technique, and we will clear those underlying issues so you can go ahead and have the professional life you want.
And that's what all of us want, right?
Exactly.
We want purposeful and fulfilling professional careers and lives.
Without the noise telling us that we can't do it.
So anything else you want to share with us about Resistant Vision?
No, but you should go to the website and check it out because it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So let's give our audience some calls to action. What should they do?
If you're a lawyer or an academic who's interested in making sure that you have a career about internal gratification, it's not dragged about, it's not, you know, you're not responding to everybody's whims, and to have that sovereignty of mind, body, and soul, you should hop on over to resistantvision.com resistantvision.com and check out what I have there. You can go to your own rabbit hole, and academics, you can go to your rabbit hole and you can find the offerings I have for both of you there.
Do you have any events coming up?
So a couple of things. If you sign up for my newsletter, I actually have, as a thank you gift, a 5 days of getting rid of stress thank you gift for you. So you should sign up and take advantage of that. But I'm also going to be doing I think it's like this, I should know this off the top of my head. If I'm correct, it's the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th of October. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be calling people the 15th through 18th. I'm going to be calling people into doing a free writing weekend with me, where you're going to get a one-day writing retreat. I'm going to give you a writing challenge, and I'm going to do a writing workshop with you, so you can actually get a sense of the kind of tools that you can deploy to get the stuff off of your computer and over to a journal.
I love it. I need to get on that writing retreat. I need to sign up.
Okay. Well, stay tuned.
Will do. Well, I'm so happy to hear about this evolutionary growth, professional growth into a resistant vision coaching and consulting, and seeing the impact that you're making on the community, specifically women. And because but most of us have some challenges, particularly women, with trying to please everybody and
can't make ourselves and our work front and center.
Yes.
And we earn less money. We don't get the raises.
Yes.
Our careers are less satisfying our health suffers because of that. Yes.
Yes. And we really need to put ourselves first, you know, mm-hmm. like when you're on the airplane, what do they say? Save yourself first.
Put on your oxygen mask before you help others.
Yep. So
resistant vision is your oxygen mask.
I heard that. So you all please go to resistantvision.com to learn more about how Michelle can help you develop more fulfilling and prosperous careers and professional lives. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ramona.
So now we're in our college strategy portion of our interview. And Michelle, you must tell us, what school or schools did you attend? What were your majors and degrees? And then lastly, what is that strategy you would give students to be successful in college?
Okay, well, I went to Grinnell College in Grinnell, Iowa, where I majored in political science. Then I went to University of Iowa for law school. And then I went to NYU and I earned a master's and a PhD in history. And what I would say for people going to college is this. This is a time, you know, in part to get you to shift into adulthood, into learning to really explore. Professors will provide you with a set of guidelines. It's called the syllabus, right? And sometimes you'll have assignment descriptions. And what it's incumbent upon you to do is to read it and engage with it, because that's where the professor is going to lay out their expectations for the course, what to do and when to do it. And to really try to do what they lay out in that syllabus. Before you ask a whole bunch of questions, just try to do it. You ask the questions as you try and make sense of it, but don't ask the questions just because you're scared of what's happening. You're going to be given a lot of autonomy that you haven't had in high school. Don't be afraid of that. Embrace it. Walk into it, because you may end up in a job where you don't have that autonomy, right? This is your time to step into it and really love it and take it in and drink it in. It's because it's exhilarating, and it may open up things for you that you didn't know you had, that you didn't know you'd want to do before.
That's great. And as a former college professor, I totally agree with you, but you're talking like an attorney as well. That is your contract. Read that syllabus. The professors are very clear on what the expectations are for their class. So if you follow that contract, that syllabus, you will excel in that class. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that you read it and take it to heart as you do the requirements for that class. And like Michelle stated, you know, you're going to have a lot of freedom. And don't be afraid to embrace that freedom in college to do and learn everything you want to do and learn. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Thompson, for joining us on the Empowerment Zone. Oh, can't wait to have you back here. Always welcome, as always.
Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ungully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.